This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I think that this will be the final straw that pushes them over the edge and forces Dan Snyder to go back on his word and change the name of this team.
It's just a name.
If he does change the name, it will be because of the pressure. I don't think it's something he'll want to do.
If it is causing some people pain, I don't think on the other side you can claim that that name is giving you any sort of joy that's at the level that should justify your wishes being held over the wishes of the people it actually affects.
I think that Daniel Snyder is going to change this name. I predict that it's going to probably be before this season begins.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, it's a big controversy. It's been for a long time, people. Let's not pretend that this is something new. The Redskins, that name has been a problem, Peter, for how long? You know better than me.
1972, I think, is when it first started becoming problematic.
Yeah, you know, so it's been a really long time, but now obviously with everything that's going on in the current climate, it just makes sense to change it. But there's a lot of different angles. There's the tradition of changing a name like this. It's not like changing the Colt 45 to the Astros. The Colt 45 were only in existence for a handful of years, or, you know, the Hornets becoming the Pelicans, or we've seen name changes before. But this is a franchise that's been around since the mid-30s with that name, I think 1933. To be exact, it's been a long time, and they have an owner that's fighting it. There are people that believe that the Native Americans actually are not offended by it. You've seen that. The Washington Post had an article, and that's been going on for years now. My brother produced a morning football show for SiriusXM. He had a Native American chief on that said he feels honored that the name is Redskins, but still, it is a derogatory name, and it looks like the change is going to happen. J.P. Finley, who's friends with Peter, we got to dive into how that'll happen. Works for NBC Sports in Washington and obviously follows this story, joins us here on the Michael K. Show. It's Don, and I believe you're familiar with Peter's work.
I am. Thank you for having me, and great to be on with you guys.
Well, J.P., let's start here. When did this – you and I have talked about this, as all Skins fans have for many years – when over the last couple weeks did the momentum really start picking up and people like you took notice?
Well, there's kind of the public story and then everything that was going on behind the scenes. Publicly, the team participated. If you remember, after George Floyd was murdered, there was that blackout social justice day on social media, mm-hmm. where everybody just posted the picture of the black space, and the Redskins participated in that, and the feedback was overwhelmingly negative. And largely, how can you say you're for social justice when your name is a slur? It's fairly simple to see that process unfold. And what happened from there is a lot of their marketing deals, sponsorships, a lot of that is tied in with social media activation, because the Redskins account has, you know, over a million followers, and it's a highly valuable space to offer to advertisers. But those advertisers didn't want anything to do with that once the response to everything they started doing had this social justice angle, and you get, and you know how Twitter is, it can become kind of a mob. And once that process starts and that cycle gets moving,
sure.
Bank of America, Pepsi, all these major corporate partners that are supposed to be tagged in tweets and Instagram posts, they're like, wait a second, give us a little time off here. We don't need our mentions blowing up like this. So that was obviously early June. And in my reporting, I know that they started having real conversations about what do we need to do in early June. Obviously, the jaw dropper was when FedEx came out with their statement asking the Redskins to change the name. And that's a huge deal just because FedEx is a major corporate partner with Washington, but it's even bigger because the CEO of FedEx is a minority investor in the Redskins. And at that point, you're just like, wow, for years and years, and Peter was saying I mean, he and I grew up here. This has been a topic our entire lives. But the Redskins, the organizational strategy was kind of always just to ride it out, and it would go away, and it always kind of did. It would, the name issue would pop up for a little while, and then it would kind of go away. But I think it's obvious that this time it's not going away because the money is going away.
And to be fair, JP, it's so easy to just blame Schneider for being someone that just doesn't get it, very stubborn. But there seems to be a lot of people and a percentage of people within the Native American community that will speak out and say they don't have a problem with it. I mean, how real is that?
You know, it's interesting. I travel with, you know, I'm a beat reporter, so I'm at every game, and I see the response the Skins get on the road. And I have two images I can never forget. One was last year in Minnesota. It was a Thursday night game. There had to be maybe 200. There was a very real, legitimate protest outside of the Viking Stadium about the team name. And in the past, when I'd heard there were going to be protests, generally, you hear more about it on social media, and then you get to where the protest is supposed to be, and there's 7 people or 20 people. But the scene in Minnesota was very obvious. But the flip side of that, to your question, the Redskins played in Seattle a few years back, and I was kind of just walking around the stadium because it's a cool stadium. I'd never been there before the game, and there was, I mean, a legitimate crowd. And this wasn't an organized thing, but just a legitimate crowd of Native Americans wearing Seahawks. They were Seahawks fans. They were wearing Seahawks jerseys, but they all had these handmade necklaces of the Redskins logo, of old Native American looking person. And I asked the guy, I was like, hey, what's up with the Redskins logos? He's like, oh, you know, a woman on the reservation makes them and she sells them. We're all very proud of this. We think it's so distinguished. And there had to be 20, 30 people just wearing these, and that sticks with me too, because I do some radio work down here in D.C., and I had a guy call in from the Chippewa, that was his background is the Chippewa tribe, and he said if you eliminate Native American imagery from sports, it doesn't exist anywhere else, really. And at what point are we just eliminating our history from the public consciousness? And I had never thought about that. You know, you hear that this is a slur, you see it, it's kind of obvious, but there is a segment of the population that it's a source of pride.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So that begs the question then. This now, it appears, is going to happen. And unless you feel differently, we'll run with that for now. That seems to be what's happening, right?
Yep.
So if we go under that assumption, JP, you know, I was listening to Brian Mitchell's show in Washington today, and I heard callers calling up and still talking about the idea of keeping the logo but changing the name. Where do you my personal preference is get away from anything related to human beings as your mascot. I just think that is the way that makes sense to go, and I don't think you can ever get a consensus from an entire community, especially a community that has been just decimated and treated the way it's been, like Native Americans. Trying to get one voice that says, oh yes, we're okay with the Warriors and keeping the tomahawk, I find that to be a mess, and I think most people will think it doesn't do the job. So I lean towards completely change it. But do you think they will try to stay in the vein of something related to Native Americans? And also on top of that, what was Ron Rivera talking about in terms of honoring the military as well? I didn't know what the hell he was even talking about.
So I think they might have a 2-for-1. More and more, I think they're going to go to Red Tails, which allows them to save a lot of what they want to do. They want to be able to save HTTR. They want to be able to save the fight song. and Red Tails is a fairly seamless substitution for Red Skins when you're singing the song or on social media. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with this. Red Tails was also the nickname of the Tuskegee Airmen, which were the first fighter pilots to break the color barrier in the Army and integrate being fighter pilots in World War II. And in Native American culture, when you see red tails on headdresses or in use in kind of body art, it's supposed to, it's a suggestion of a very, very high honor. So I don't know that they're going to do that, but that one seems to make a lot of sense to me. I know that, you know, Dan and Ron said they want to still honor Native Americans. I know that the color scheme and some of the imagery is still really important. I think, Peter, I think you're totally right. You got to get rid of the logo. I don't even think you can go. They have a throwback helmet that has a spear on it. I don't think you can do that. I think you go. They can still use the R logo that they used more and more in recent years. But I'll tell you the truth, guys. I don't think they're going to be able to do any of that for this season. I just don't think they have enough time.
Really?
I mean, they play a game, assuming coronavirus doesn't wipe out games, and that's a whole separate issue, but they play a game in 9 weeks. And you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar corporation. It's not just flipping a switch. It's every single logo in that stadium. Think about it. And this is so dumb and simple, but you know, every bar you go into that has the DirecTV NFL package. They have the logos of all 32 teams on those posters.
Wow.
Every single one of those posters in every bar across the country is going to have to come down. And DirecTV and all these corporate sponsors are going to have to send new stuff out for all of that.
It's a massive undertaking that you don't really think about all the details. That's true.
And because of revenue sharing in the NFL, I am mad. Even if they try to fast track this thing, I think all 32 owners or some majority of them are going to have to approve a new logo. Typically, you would want significant market research and focus groups to make sure you're maximizing your leverage and profits. And they got 2 months. I won't be shocked at all if they are just Washington this fall.
I think people understand that. If they just went with the R with the feather logo for the entire season,
You got to get rid of the feather. Unless you're leaning into Red Tails, the feather is Native American imagery to me. And if you're changing, you can't half step at this point.
Agreed.
They have to make this line in the sand and not try to drag.
Yeah, so they can go with a burgundy helmet. And listen, money will be lost, but believe me, the new logo, we've seen when teams change logos, when they change uniforms, it becomes the number one selling jersey for that season. I'm sure they'll more than make up for whatever's lost in 2020 with a campaign, with a new logo, with new imagery. I'm sure there'll be a windfall of money for them in 2021.
And one last thing, JP, I got to know, does anyone know how Snyder is personally dealing with this? I mean, because some of the great joy I take out of this, obviously I don't think you can get any joy in thinking he's changed at all, because he hasn't. I mean, he gets zero credit, in my opinion, at this point. His hand's been completely forced. So what I would like to know, does anybody know if he's freaking out about this, if he's fighting it tooth and nail? Has anyone heard anything from inside sort of his camp?
All of the people close to Dan at this point are saying that he's handling things pretty well. But, I mean, he's also in the Mediterranean somewhere. He's not exactly here dealing with these things. I can't imagine he's happy at all. Billionaires in general don't like being told what to do, and I think Dan particularly doesn't want to be told what to do.
And the thing that stinks for him, not that I care, is that he is also somebody who is going to change this and get zero credit for it. Because that's the other thing, too. We can't make him out to be a hero for doing this.
Right. Well, and one thing that's tough for Dan is that he gets lumped in with FedEx Field, which is the worst stadium in the NFL. He didn't build that thing. He's taking on all of this weight of the controversy surrounding the team name. He didn't name this team. That said, he doesn't handle many things very well publicly. He doesn't help himself at all. But you're right. It's he's got to play this hand. And it's in all my reporting, all the people I've talked to, this thing is a complete done deal unless at the last minute Dan says, I'm not doing it. And then he's got to fight Park Avenue. He's got to fight a number of other owners around the league. And that you also have his minority ownership partners selling their stakes.
Right.
That makes no sense. Why would you sell right now in a COVID pandemic when nobody knows what your revenues are going to look like for 2020? Because you're probably not going to have fans in the stands. It makes zero sense. And those guys that are selling, they're not hard up for cash. It's the CEO of FedEx. He's not looking to buy a beach house, so he's got to unload some property.
Right.
I mean, honestly, the three people, his minority investor partners, probably have more money than Snyder does because they are big wigs. I mean, one of the guys is, I think, president of NBR, which is like a huge multi-state home builder, and the other is private equity.
It's also just weird to me that they want to get out now. Like, he's presumably been terrible to deal with for a long time, and now they might actually finally do the right thing. It's just that I find the timing to be so strange.
Very, very strange. Not to mention, I've seen his interactions with Fred Smith and with Rob Rothman in particular, like on the sidelines, they're buddy-buddy. They go out to dinner together on the road. They seem close. So you wonder if something has happened that I keep circling back to it, but FedEx to be the first company to come out and formally – I mean, listen, if Nike did this first, it would make sense because they're so aligned with Colin Kaepernick. I feel like Nike tries to do their part for social justice. But nobody's looking to FedEx to be the champion of justice in America. I mean, you're a delivery logistics company. It's just not what was expected. And for them to come out with that first, it seems so odd.
Very interesting point. Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Great stuff. Well, talk to you soon. We're actually talking some football.
Thanks, JP.
I love that. Hey, good to hear from you, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Later, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.